Well, welcome and thanks again for joining us today. Hey, today's the second Sunday of Advent. Last week we talked about the idea of hope, never giving up hope. And that was the theme of last week being the first Sunday of Advent. And this week's theme is that of peace. So I want to talk to us today about what I call the search for peace. The search for peace. And our scripture reading is found in John chapter 14. Just a couple of verses there I want to lift out for our text. And we're going to kind of look at a little more of the chapter in depth a little bit later. But in John chapter 14, verses 25 through 27, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And remember, once again, this John chapter 14 is kind of Jesus' farewell address to the 12 apostles. And we're catching in on some of this discussion right now. And in verse 25, we find these words spoken by Jesus. He says, "I have spoken these things to you while I remain with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have told you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Don't let your heart be troubled or fearful." Heavenly Father, this is your word, and I pray your blessing on it today. Use it for your glory and for your purpose. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. The search for peace. You know, there's a movie that our family has watched several times over the years, and it's a movie called Miss Congeniality. And in that movie, Sandra Bullock plays the part of an FBI agent who goes undercover as a contestant in a Miss USA beauty pageant. They're trying to discover who some pretty evil people are in this thing. And there are some things going on there that are illegal. And she goes undercover as an FBI agent, and she poses as a contestant in this beauty pageant. Now, at one point in the movie, the final contestants are doing the question and answer part of the contest. And when asked what they would like to be able to help accomplish should they win this beauty pageant, all of them at some point say they would like to help achieve world peace. World peace. What is that? It's something I've heard talked about all my life. Presidents have met with other world leaders in historic summits to try to broker peace agreements. Other elected and appointed officials have served as what we call peace ambassadors. But in all honesty, I have to say that I can't remember a time in my life when there hasn't been some war, some battle, or some conflict raging somewhere in the world. And as good as the idea of world peace sounds, if we know our Bible, we also know that it won't be achieved, at least not in the way a lot of people understand peace. Jesus says that even in the last days, there will be wars and rumors of wars. He says nation will rise against nation and kingdoms will rise against other kingdoms. Now, I know that doesn't sound very optimistic, but it is scriptural. And that is why it is important for us to have an accurate idea and an understanding of the meaning of the word peace. What type of peace is Jesus talking about? What type of peace are we talking about here today? I want us to dive into this idea of peace and what Jesus is trying to tell us in these few verses that we've already read today. So let's look at some questions. I kind of have some questions posed as like a what if type scenario to help us understand what peace really is. So what does peace mean? To some, it means the absence of something. Peace means the absence of something. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, to a lot of people, experiencing peace means that maybe there's no war. Maybe we live in a time where there is no war at any point or any place in the world. To some people, peace means the absence of any type of conflict. Now, conflict can happen in a lot of ways. We're not just talking about military conflict. Conflict arises every day in our lives. One of the things, quite frankly, that I hate the worst about ministry is facing conflict, trying to bring resolution to conflict. It's just one of those things that's never any fun. It's never enjoyable. So to some people, peace would mean the absence of conflict. To some, the word peace or the idea of peace might mean the absence of trouble or problems. Well, how peaceful would life be if we could just go through life and there wasn't any kind of trouble? Be pretty peaceful, wouldn't it? If that's our understanding of peace. To some, peace means the absence of violence. And oh, I'm not making light of this. I would love, would we not all love to see and live in a world and in a society where we didn't have to worry about violence, where I could turn on the television at night or I could look on the internet and read the news and pick up the newspaper and not have to worry about reading about a mass shooting or gang-related activity or drug-related activity or any type of violence like that? Wouldn't it be so incredible if we could live in a world that looked like that? To some, peace means the absence of sorrow. What is one of the things that we face in life that causes us to feel like we're not at peace with ourselves or not at peace with others when we have sorrow in our lives? So peace to some people would be the absence of sorrow. It would be the absence of worry. How many of us have a hard time experiencing peace or living at peace because we worry? We worry about our family. We worry about our job situation. We worry about the life of the church. We worry about our neighbors and this person who's sick or not feeling well. There's all kinds of things in life to worry about. And Jesus tells us not to worry about anything. So for some people, peace would mean the absence of worry. For some, maybe peace means the absence of fear. Jesus, in this very verse, tells us, You've heard me tell you. He talks about my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. So don't let your heart be troubled or fearful. To some people, peace means the absence of fear, the absence of conflict and war and trouble and violence or sorrow and worry. And those are just a few of the things. But if this is our idea of the meaning of peace, then I'm sorry to tell you that we're going to be greatly disappointed. Why? Because we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that is sinful. We live in a world, for the most part, that does not follow after the ideals of Christ and His teaching. So we live in a fallen world. And what does that mean? We live with fallen people. No matter how good our intentions are or how hard we try, we don't have the ability to get rid of the things that I mentioned or all of the other things I didn't mention that keep us from having peace. We don't have the power to just snap our fingers and say, be gone with worry or be gone with conflict, be gone with trouble or be gone with any of those things. That's not in our power. So to some people, peace means the absence of bad things. To others, peace could mean the escape from something. I hadn't really thought about this idea until I started preparing for this sermon this week. And when this idea of peace came to me, yeah, peace could mean the absence, you know, just none of these things occurring. But peace can also mean for some people they're trying to escape from something bad or negative. Let's just face it. Let's be real honest. Life presents challenges. Life presents challenges. And we have to choose how we handle and respond to those challenges in life. And so conflict and trouble or violence or sorrow, we have to figure out how to cope with and deal with those things because they are a reality. And the scripture tells us, the Bible tells us that they're going to be a reality right up until the time Jesus comes back. So we have to figure out how to handle it. We have to do our best to respond to these challenges in a way that is helpful instead of harmful. So many people try to find peace by doing things to escape from the negative life challenges that go around, around us and that we face? What do we do with these situations that keep us from being at peace? How do we respond to them? Well, here are some things. Here's just a few ideas of how some people respond to the challenges, and they're trying to escape these things that keep us from having peace. One way is we just try to ignore it. Just try to ignore it. Act like it's not really there. Whatever that problem is, I'm just going to act like it's not really there. Whatever it is in my life that's keeping me from having peace, I'm just going to act like it's not there. Any of these conflicts that we've talked about, any of these things that keep us from having peace, and so many more, we just act like it's not there. We try to ignore it. Another avenue of escape is this. We try to fake it. We try to fake it. We act like we have it all together. We act like we have all the answers. We act like we're not bothered by this situation at all. So we just try to fake it. How do I escape from that situation that keeps me from having peace? I just, instead of facing the reality, I act like it doesn't even bother me. Some people turn to other avenues to try to escape the negative things in life, those things that keep us from having peace. Some try to drown with the next drink. Some try to suppress it with the next level of high. Some people try to mask it with just the next relationship. One bad relationship doesn't work, so what do? We try to mask the hurt from that relationship by getting into another one, and on and on and on. Some even try to escape these things that keep us from having peace by ending our own lives, resorting to suicide. How desperate and hopeless must we be when we get to that situation? Listen, I'm not making light of it. It's very real. Matter of fact, it's more real now this year with everything that's been going on around us. The quarantines, the job losses, a lot of the things that we faced in this year of 2020 have contributed to some of the highest spikes in suicide that we've ever seen. We can't just ignore it. We can't act like it's not happening. We have to realize that this is one of the ways that people try to escape from those things that keep them from having true peace. So to some people, peace means the absence of something. To some people, peace means the escape from something. But what if we could realize that true peace is not the absence of or escape from something harmful around us? Let me ask you that question again. What if we could realize that true peace is not the absence or escape from something harmful around us? What if instead we could realize that true peace is actually found in the presence of someone within us? Look at our text again that we read earlier. Verse 26 is very key to this. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Okay. Now remember the what if here. What if we could realize that true peace is actually found in the presence of someone within us? Let's back up a little bit and look at some verses earlier in this chapter. We're still in John chapter 14. But starting at verse 15, we find Jesus saying these words, "If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him." Catch this. It's bold print and underlined in my notes. but you know him because he lives with you and will be in you. So once again, what if we could realize that true peace is actually found in the presence of someone within us, and that someone is the Holy Spirit? When we put this all together, we see that true peace is found when we have the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of Christ, living within us. Now let's add one more layer. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, the Apostle Paul is writing, and we find a list of traits or qualities that are described as the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Those traits include these following things: love, joy, peace. There's our word for today. Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Peace is described as a fruit or a result, an outgrowth of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit within us. In the Beacon Bible Commentary, I found these words in reference to this idea. Could it be that this dynamic peace comes only to those who are possessed by the Holy Spirit? One commentator goes on to say this: the coming of the Spirit is a blood transfusion for courageous living. I love that. The Holy Spirit, the coming of the Holy Spirit is a blood transfusion for courageous living. Jesus went away so that the strengthener might come. Who is the strengthener? That other counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in Jesus' name. You see, true peace can only be experienced when we have the presence of the Holy Spirit living within us. I can't find it anywhere else. I can't manufacture it any other way. With all this in mind, here's the next question regarding peace. What if we could realize that true peace is actually a gift? What if we could realize and understand that true peace is actually a gift? What a concept for Advent and Christmas, the idea of a gift. Look again at what Jesus says in our scripture reading for today. John chapter 14, verse 27. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives." Why is it important? Why is it important for us to recognize peace as a gift? Think about this. Every war, every battle, every military conflict in history ultimately comes down to what? It comes down to a fight for peace. Sure. It's a matter of power. It's a matter of strength. It's a matter of defeating the enemy. But the ultimate goal is to win the fight so that you can have peace. Isn't that kind of backwards? Does anybody else see that as just a little bit ironic? The irony of fighting for peace? But that's what we do. World War I was ideally supposed to be what? It was the war to end all wars. Well, as Dr. Phil would say, how's that working out for us? We see it's not working out. Hasn't worked out for us at all. Because World War I certainly wasn't the war to end all wars. But once again, this idea is based on a worldly definition of peace, not a spiritual definition. But in a spiritual sense, I want us to understand something. We've got to own up to this. In a spiritual sense, often we're the same way. Now, what do I mean by that? Here's what I mean. We constantly put forth effort to achieve peace. We're constantly working towards peace. We find ourselves at odds with ourselves. We find ourselves at odds with other people. We even sometimes find ourselves at odds with God in this search for spiritual peace. But let's remember and understand what Jesus says. But Jesus says he gives or gifts to us peace. Well, what are two important aspects of the idea of a gift? There's the giver, and then there's the person who receives the gift. There's the offer of the gift, and then there's the response to that offer. If I offer you something as a gift, I'm looking in my pockets. I don't have, well, wait a minute here, right? All right. I'm holding in my hand. What? I could tell you that this is a very expensive, limited edition, priceless ink pen, but that would be a lie because it's not. It's actually one of the ink pens that anybody who walks into our church can get from the Welcome Center, Quake, because we give them out. Isn't that funny? We give them out as gifts to people who come visit our church. But if you were to come to me and we were to meet and I pulled this very expensive ink pen out of my pocket and I said, you know what? I would like for you to have this. I'm offering this to you as a gift from me. The offer has been made. When does it actually become a gift? When you respond to the offer. If you reach out and take this and say, I accept your gift and I thank you for it, then it becomes a gift. But what if you reject it? If I pull it out of my pocket and offer it to you and say, this is a gift for me, and you say, no, I don't want it, is it really a gift? No, because it's still in my possession and it's not achieving the purpose that I desired for it to achieve. So let's break this down a little bit. We have to either accept it or reject it. If you accept it, it truly becomes a gift. If you reject it, then it really isn't a gift at all. But what if we could realize that Jesus has already offered us and made available to us this gift of peace, this idea, this achievement that we work so hard for, that we fight for, that we'll put forth all this effort to achieve. Jesus is basically telling us, says, look, I've already done everything that has to be done. Peace is right here. All you have to do, it's a gift from me. All you have to do is reach out and accept it and take it and apply it to your own life. What if we could just learn to accept that gift that Jesus has already offered? We'll talk more about that in a few minutes. But there's another important lesson here about this gift of peace. Jesus tells us that he does not give to us as the world gives. We've got to understand that. We have to catch that. We can't go through this scripture without understanding that. This tells us something important about the motive behind the gift. The manner in which Jesus offers the gift. How does the world give? I think we could say that the world gives in a conditional way. I think we could say that the world gives in a way that is incomplete or imperfect. I think we could even say that the world gives based on circumstances or convenience. You see, whatever the world actually offers us is superficial and temporary most of the time. But how does Jesus give? The way Jesus gives is completely opposite of the world. Jesus gives us unconditionally. Jesus gives completely. Jesus gives in a way that is not lacking anything. Jesus gives his very best. He gives not temporarily, but constantly. Once again, in John chapter 14, verse 16, Jesus says this, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. Jesus' gift is eternal. The counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will be with you forever. Reading that verse reminded me of one of the old hymns in our hymnal. The title of the hymn is Constantly Abiding. Listen to these words. There's a peace in my heart that the world never gave, a peace it cannot take away. Though the trials of life may surround like a cloud, I have a peace that has come there to stay. All the world seemed to sing of a Savior and King. When peace sweetly came to my heart, troubles all fled away, and my night turned to day. Blessed Jesus, how glorious thou art. Now here's the chorus. Constantly abiding, Jesus is mine. Constantly abiding, rapture divine. He never leaves me lonely. Whispers, oh so kind, I will never leave thee. Jesus is mine. There's a peace in my heart that the world never gave, and the world cannot take it away. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that an incredible promise for us to understand today, that this gift of peace, it comes from Jesus through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit? And that gift is available. It's ours for the taking. It's available to everyone who will put their trust in Him. It's available to all of us. It's right here. If you can see this altar, let me just illustrate this. Here it is. There, that box of Kleenexes. That's peace. That's the gift of peace. Jesus has already bought it. He's already paid for it. He's already been the sacrifice for it. I'm giving it to you. All you have to do is come pick it up and take it. What do we do with it? We have to accept it. So how do we do that? Great question. Here's my next what if question. What if we could realize that the key to finding peace is really surrender? What if we could realize that the key to finding true peace is really surrender? Now think about this. We've talked about military conflict. What ultimately happens sometimes? I mean, what happens sometimes in conflict? One side or the other will surrender. They'll realize that they've been defeated. They'll realize there's no way for them to win, and they'll surrender. And when they surrender, it puts an end to the battle. It puts an end to the war. What if we could realize that the true key, the true secret of finding peace is really surrender? I told you we're going to talk about more of this in a few minutes. It's been a few minutes. Now, where do I get this idea of gaining peace through surrender? Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. Now let's break that verse down. The word let. A little three-letter word. The word let. What does it mean? It means that I make a choice. I choose to willingly do something. Let the peace of Christ. I'm not fighting it. I'm not struggling against it. I'm letting it happen. I'm allowing it to happen. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Now, what does that word mean? The word rule here means to have authority. It means to be in control. Now, if the peace of Christ is going to rule or have control and be in authority in my life, the only way that happens is for me to choose to surrender. Stop struggling. I have to choose to stop fighting. I have to choose to stop trying to control my life. And it's a choice. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Intentionally surrender my control and my right to be in charge of my own life and give it up to Jesus. I have to choose to learn to trust Jesus. I have to choose to learn to lean on Jesus. I have to choose to learn to rest in Jesus if I want to experience peace. The words of St. Augustine are so appropriate here, and they ring so true. In one of his works, St. Augustine writes these words, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds rest in you." Our heart is restless until it rests in you. You want to know how we truly have peace? We come to Jesus, whether it's at an altar, whether it's at my bedside, whether it's in my car, whether it's wherever it might be, whether it's walking out on the pumpkin vine trail, I don't care where you are. True peace comes when we come to the point where we come to Jesus wherever we are, and he meets us where we are, and we say, "Lord, I'm surrendering to you. I'm giving up the fight. I'm giving up the battle. I'm giving you complete control. I surrender my life to you, and I ask your peace. I ask you to let your peace rule in my heart and life." Rest. We're so used to struggling. It's such a part of us. We're so used to fighting, and we're so used to struggling. We think we have to earn everything, when really what we need to do is learn to rest in Jesus and to trust him completely. That's how we find peace. Let me ask you this question today. Do you have peace? The Bible tells us that the peace of God is a peace that passes all understanding. That means we can have peace in the middle of anything that's going on around us. It means we can have peace even when we don't understand what's going on around us. It means we can have peace even when we don't understand the pain, or we don't understand the sorrow. We don't understand the situations that I'm facing or that you're facing. This peace is available to all of us. It's such an incredible gift. And Jesus offers it through the power and the presence of his Holy Spirit. My prayer is this. My prayer for all of us, for you, for myself, for all of us. My prayer is this, that we will reach out and accept the gift of peace that Jesus has already offered and given. I pray that we'll come to a place of surrender so that we can stop fighting, so that we can stop struggling, so we can stop working, and that we can just find true rest and peace in the presence of Jesus. That's my prayer for this Advent Christmas, this Advent season leading up to Christmas. The search for peace, where does it end? It ends at the feet of Jesus, surrendering ourselves to him and the power of the Holy Spirit, the presence and power of the Holy Spirit living within us. Do you have that kind of peace today? If not, I pray that you will search for it until you find it. And if you truly have a heart for it, you won't have to search long, because Jesus is right there waiting for us. The Holy Spirit's right here waiting for us to answer that prayer and to help us experience this incredible gift of peace. Heavenly Father, today, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your gift of peace. Even especially in the midst of problems and trials and challenges and conflict, in times of worry and sorrow, we thank you for the peace that you have made available to each and every one of us. And Father, now my prayer is that everyone, each and every one of us, would take the time to just surrender ourselves to you. Maybe we need to recommit our hearts and lives to you in some form or fashion. But Lord, help us today to surrender the struggle until we find rest and peace in your presence. We love you and we thank you and we give you honor and glory. We worship you. And we ask all these things in the precious holy name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you again for joining us. Such an honor to be able to minister with you and worship with you today. God bless you. God bless you this week. Hopefully we'll see you back here next Sunday morning.